Nights tuned to Yesterday, delivering programs from radio's yesteryear. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Livonier. We have Variety coming up in this hour. Later on, we hear actor Peter Lawford, a special guest on the Continental Celebrity Club. But right now, it's Philco Radio Time, better known as The Bing Crosby Show, from March 31st, 1948 on ABC, with special guest Dick Powell.
Hey, we're on, I think. Give me a downbeat or something.
When the blue of tonight.
I didn't see that light, did you? I've got to get bifocus or something.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to Philco Radio Time, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythm Ayers, and Bing's guest, Dick Powell.
Dick Powell coming tonight?
That's right.
Say, he's a singer, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, I can go home. I'll see you next
no,
week.
No, no, no. Now, wait a minute. Come back here, Bing. No. You got work to do.
Good try, though, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Now, you see, Bing, Dick has practically given up singing.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. He's a big detective in pictures. I wonder what my move will be.
Maybe you can go into politics. After all, you're the mayor of Elko, Nevada.
And the chief street cleaner.
Well, for a fellow who once had horses, you should be pretty handy at that.
I'm outstanding. I use the overlapping grip.
I was wondering. Inside out, every time. You know, Bing, Bob Hope was made mayor of Palm Springs some time ago.
Hope is mayor of Palm Springs?
That's right.
Leave it to those dudes to pick a dud, will you? Say, Ken, have you ever seen the ensemble, the outfit, the cowboy outfit that Hope wears around Palm Springs?
Oh, no. What's it like?
Stand by.
I'm here.
This boy's got a shirt, this Hope, with a bare midriff.
Naturally.
Pepsodent for piping around the edges. Wears Levi's with lace cuffs. Wears a gun on one hip and his hand on the other.
Really?
No. Not only that, he uses a beauty rest saddle, I think. Say, you know, he went to a barn dance at Roger's stable the other night in ballet slippers.
Well, he's always on his toes, that boy.
Yes, he's generally snapping at some barbecued beef or something, too, while he is. Hey, Ken, if the Rhythm Ayers and John Scott will move in, we shall hit everybody with a new song that's quite a smash now, called Love Is So Terrific. Hit it, John.
Terrific, such a funny feeling. Makes you want to cuddle and cling. Makes you sentimental, makes you kind of gentle. Ouch, terrific thing. Love is so prolific, sends your head a reeling. Makes you want to giggle and sing.
Rubah, rubah.
Makes you sigh and wonder, hits you just like thunder. Ouch, terrific thing. Life rearranges, suddenly changes, everything strange as it can be. Memory gets hazy, then you go crazy. Wow, look what it's done to me. Love is so terrific, such a dizzy feeling. Makes you hear the wedding bells ring. Melts away your collar, makes you want to holler. Ouch, terrific thing.
Terrific.
Such a funny feeling makes the winter turn into spring.
Start your heart a thundering, get your mind a wandering.
Ouch, terrific thing.
Love is really so prolific, send your silly head a reeling.
Makes your daily troubles take wing. Makes your pain a pleasure, love is such a treasure. Ouch, terrific thing. Life rearranges, suddenly changes, everything strange as it can be. Memory gets hazy, then you go crazy. Wow, look what it's done to me. Love is so terrific, such a dizzy feeling. Makes you hold the world on a spin. Melts away your collar, makes you want to away your collar.
No, you won't regret it.
Makes you want to holler.
Don't you forget it. Love is so terrific.
A
terrific thing.
That was terrific.
Thank you.
And John Scott, you and the orchestra were terrific.
Thanks, Ken.
There's rehearsal. And Bing.
Thanks, Ken.
Now, you were terrific, too.
I figured as much.
You know what else is terrific?
Yes, the way you're sneaking into this commercial.
What commercial?
The Philco commercial, or didn't they pick up our option? Well,
certainly. Philco's pick up everything.
I never saw one walking down Hollywood Boulevard with Broadway Rose.
Nevertheless, they're great radios, Bing. They pull in any station far and near.
Well, I guess we might as well pull up a chair, folks. We are cooked.
Sure. Relax. You always get easy listening with a Philco. And that goes double for those new Philcos with FM. Why not give this new kind of broadcasting a whirl now? A Philco with FM puts more zip and sparkle in all the big shows. And today you can enjoy a lot of them on FM for the first time. It doesn't cost you a dime to drop in at your Philco dealer and take a listen to those brilliant new Philco table models that give you both FM and all standard broadcasts. Or if you want the full treatment in radio and recorded music, check those great new Philco consoles with FM and everything else for luxurious listening. Either way, Philco FM lets you kiss the noise goodbye. Static, fading, interference from storms and such like, and brings you the best shows in the land at their best. Trade in your old radio now for the new FM from Philco. Famous for quality the world over.
Here's Jack Brooks' bouncy tune with Gloria Woods assisting me. Saturday day. Hello, honey. Gee, you look swell. How have you been?
Oh, wonderful. But don't just stand there. Come on in.
Well, haven't we got places to go and a lot of things to do?
Mm-hmm. But I'd like to stay at home, if it's all the same to you.
Well, okay. I got a Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
And we plan to spend a wonderful evening at home.
We'll be dining in the kitchen,
dancing in the parlor,
talking while the lights are low,
or just plain sitting,
listening to the radio.
On my Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
As long as we're alone, we're all right.
We're a couple of stay-at-homes on Saturday night.
Say, honey, let's sit over here, where the lights are low.
You mean just you and me and the radio?
Mm-hmm. You happy?
Happy.
Love me?
Yes.
Comfy?
Cozy.
Shall we dance?
Oh, yes.
You think Sammy Kay's got a good beat, honey?
Oh, I like Shep Field.
I just think Rand Wild is gone. On my Saturday date with my everyday sweetheart.
As long as we're alone, we're all right.
Why, it's a pleasure to be alone
in a world that we call our own.
Shall we do it again?
Well, you tell me when.
On our Saturday date?
Oh, I can hardly wait.
Because we're a couple of stay-at-homes on Saturday night.
Back in the days, you know, way back in the dear dead days when I was head busboy at the Coconut Grove, a young guitar player from Indianapolis with a mellifluous voice and a toothy grin started to catch on real big. The fellow really went places. He's a solid click now as a romantic, rough-and-ready movie detective. You've seen him in such thrillers as Murder, My Sweet, Cornered, and To the Ends of the Earth. Folks, here's Dick Powell.
Howdy, Bing.
Well, Dick, it's nice to have you down.
What do you mean, down? I'm doing all right.
I mean, down here on the program, Dick. Hey, don't be so touchy.
I just thought you were going to start something.
What's come over this boy?
Well, Big, I'm so used to dealing with crooks and thugs, I'm all the defensive all the time.
You're a bundle.
Bundle of what?
Bundle of nerves, naturally. Now, steady. Take it easy.
All right. But I am a little jittery, Pappy.
Those dangerous parts you've been playing, they've got you upset, Rich.
You said it, Pappy.
Now, wait a minute. What's all this Pappy stuff?
Well, no offense. All of us detectives call people by some slang name, like chum, sweetheart, Pappy.
Well, call me Sonny Boy. That's slangy enough. And, Dick, I got a little tip for you. Now, don't you take this movie work too seriously. First thing you know, you'll be thinking you're a real detective.
Well, I am a real detective.
All right, let's see you detect something.
Well, it's very simple.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell just by looking at you that you had an argument with Dixie this morning and you made up before you left home.
That's amazing. We did have a word or two and we did make up, but how can you tell just by looking at me?
That lump on your head has lipstick on it. Here, let me wipe it off.
Thanks.
Oh, you poor fellow, you.
Mm-hmm.
Any woman who would hit a crooner.
Crooner? Get a load of this lad. Here's a guy that's knocking it that tried it. You even liked it.
Well, I was young. I didn't know what I was doing.
Say, by the way, Dick, what made you give up singing?
Well, I just figured that I was getting to a certain age, and I didn't feel that my voice was there anymore. You know how it is.
What do you mean? What do you mean? I know how it is.
Besides, I figured there wasn't any money in singing.
I can't believe that. Look at what I've made.
That's what I mean. There wasn't any left.
That Pope heresy is getting around, isn't it?
Yes.
Malarkey, Fred. I ain't got change of a match.
Yeah.
Hmm?
Besides, how long can a fella go on singing?
Well, look at Al Jolson.
Yeah, but look at the comeback Jolson had to make. Do you think you'd ever be able to make a comeback like that?
No, I don't.
That's very modest of you to admit it.
Who's modest? I just figure I ain't ever going to stop.
You know, I still think you should get an angle like me, become a private detective.
Me? A plain clothes man? Dick. You're out of your mind. But, Dick, with those great parts you get in pictures, I'll bet you're glad you don't have to sing anymore, huh?
No, Bing, you never get over it. A singer's just like an actor with grease paint in his blood.
Singers as bad as actors, huh?
Worse. Why, to this day, every time I hear a bell note, my mouth flies open.
No fooling. Well, I'll be back. He does, too. He was ready. Boy was ready.
And you know another thing?
Huh?
I find myself walking into drugstores just to browse among the Zymol trochies.
Dick, do you still have a yearning for gargles and throat sprays?
Oh, my, yes. When I pass that counter, tears come to my eyes.
I understand.
But you know, I don't even drink my orange juice at breakfast. I spray it down my throat with my old atomizer.
Gosh, what a sentimental guy.
And Bing,
hmm?
I still squeeze the bulb of the old atomizer with my left hand.
Oh, that's right. You were the only southpaw singer in the business, weren't you?
You remembered.
Certainly. Everybody in the trade knows that.
Oh, I thought they'd forgotten.
No.
You know, I have a lot more to confess, too. Every week when you're on the air, I sit at home all alone and listen to you sing. And you know what I do?
What?
I join in.
You don't?
Yes.
Well, how do we sound together?
Great. And, Bing,
huh?
you think you're casual down here in the studio in an old pair of slacks and a sports shirt. If you think you're relaxed, you ought to get a load of me.
Why? What do you wear?
Shorts.
Just shorts?
On cool evenings, longs.
I'm with you there. But tell me, Dick, am I the only singer you join in with on the radio?
Well, no, not exactly. Sometimes I join Jack Smith.
I like Jack Smith myself.
Oh, he's good. Say, I wonder how he gets that smile in his voice.
I don't know for sure, but I hear his tonsils have dimples.
Oh.
Sitting home and joining in with all the singers, it must be exciting pastime, isn't
it? Oh, yes, it is. It is. You know what happened last week when Vaughn Monroe was on?
What?
I beat him to the moon by 8 lengths.
That was your moment, boy.
You know, lots of times I sing with Peggy Lee, too.
In just your shorts?
Oh, no. No, when I join Peggy, I put on a tie.
A gentleman to the end.
Well, Dick, as long as you have this yen to sing, why don't you do a number right now? Oh, but I couldn't sing. I was in such a hurry to get on here today, I forgot to put on my shorts.
Sing with your clothes on.
Oh, no.
Come on.
No.
You've done some great tunes, Dick. Remember this one?
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or bright, 'cause I only have eyes for you, dear. The moon may be high, but I can't see a thing in the sky, 'cause I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a garden or on a crowded avenue. You are here, so am I. Maybe millions of people pass by, but they all disappear from...
Hugh Casey with a guitar.
And I only have eyes for you.
That worked out all right, Dick.
Yeah, this is fun. How about this tune, Bing?
Which one?
Oh, baby, what I couldn't do.
Remember it well.
With plenty of money and you. It's the root of all evil, of strife and upheaval. But I'm certain, honey, that life could be sunny with plenty of money and you.
Here's another one, Dick. You know, you must remember this when you were the dream boy over there with Warner Brothers and all those old musicals. You must have been a beautiful baby.
Oh, yeah.
You must have been a wonderful child.
Naturally.
When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove the little girls wild. And when it came to winning blue ribbons, you must have shown the other kids how. I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you made the cutest bow. Oh, you must have been a beautiful baby, 'cause baby, look at you now.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't think I'd get that.
Hey, Bing, you got time for another tune?
Time, we're loaded with time. Sing all you want, Rich.
I wonder if Buddy Cole would give me a little Jeepers Creepers, huh?
Buddy?
Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, all get up, how'd they get so lit up? Gosh, all get up, how'd they get that size? Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, woe is me. I gotta put my cheaters on. Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes?
Hey, Bing, how about Shuffle Off to Buffalo? That was a great boy-girl tune.
Well, who's gonna be who?
You be the girl. I got a cold.
Stuck again.
I'll go home and get my clothes. You go get your these and those, and away we'll go. Ooh, ooh, off we go, shuffle, shuffle off to Buffalo. To Niagara in a sleeper, there's no honeymoon that's cheaper, and the train goes slow.
Train effect.
Ooh, 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 off we go, shuffle, shuffle off to Buffalo.
Rich, that was great, and thanks a million.
Now, thanks a million, there's a tune.
Oh, buddy, don't jump the gun, old man.
Are you anxious, old boy?
We made him stand out all night, and it's gone to his head.
Yeah.
Thanks a million, Dick. That was great.
Wait a minute. Thanks a million. Now, there's a tune.
See? Just like we planned it. If you...
Thanks a million. A million thanks to you for everything that love could bring. You brought me. You made a million dreams come true. And so I'm saying thanks a million to you.
Well, that was okay, Ricardo. If you ever get tired of being a detective, you've always got something to fall back on.
Thanks, Bing. But it's not nearly as soft as what you've got to fall back on.
Oh, you're wrong, Dick. That's not all me. I'm just smuggling home a couple of boxes of Kleenex. But, Dick, I don't mean to be rude, but I have to blend into a number from the Road to Rio. Right about here.
Would love to hear it. Love to hear it.
You see, Mr. Hope and I have a vital interest in this picture. Mr. Hope's a keen student of the dollar, so he asked me to keep plugging the song. Burke and Van Heusen came up with a beautiful ballad, so I feel we should have another go at it. John, are you ready?
Love is funny, or it's sad, or it's quiet, or it's mad. It's a good thing, or it's bad, but beautiful. Beautiful to take a chance, and if you fall, you fall. And I'm thinking I wouldn't mind at all. Love is tearful, or it's gay. It's a problem, or it's play. It's a heartache either way, but beautiful. And I'm thinking, if you were mine, I'd never let you go. And that would be but beautiful.
Sunny Italy is the story of Sorrento. We use the rhythm airs in this, and also in the solo passages, Miss Lulie Jean Norman. She stands out, really.
In the story of Sorrento, do they mention us at all? Do they tell about the evening that I wish fully recall? In the story of Sorrento, do they say that I was there, that I've never known the magic of a sweeter love affair? With your arms around me, your eager lips like wine,
they overlooked a thrilling moment. Just as people often do. In the story of Sorrento, they forgot, and so did you.
About it for now. I would like to remind our friends and my relatives up in Tacoma, Washington, loaded with relatives up there, that the Freedom Train will be in Tacoma April 8th. You folks will have an opportunity to grab yourself a real thrill and view some mighty important reminders of our American heritage. Say, Dick Powell still here?
Right here, Bing. I'd like to tell you that I really enjoyed the visit here tonight.
Well, we enjoyed having you, Dick, and please come again.
Thank you. Here's my card in case you want any detective work done.
I may need that. I'm trying to locate a guy named Rudolf Schmohapa.
Well, anytime you want him, I'll nail him for you. Who's with you next week, Bing?
Next week, Dick, Fred Astaire and Peggy Lee are paying us a call.
Oh, should be jolly. So long, Bing.
So long, Dick. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday, April 6th is Army Day. And we pause at this time to pay our respects to that undermanned khaki line which stands today, as it has for 173 years, protecting and guaranteeing for us the bounty of the United States. Let us remember that on Army Day, a strong America is a peaceful America.
This program was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in to Philco Radio Time next week and hear Bing Crosby, John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, the Rhythmaires, and Bing's guests, Fred Astaire and Peggy Manana Lee. And remember, keep your eye on your Philco dealer now for the newest thing in radio, from Philco, the leader.
Philco Radio Time, on Tuned to Yesterday from March 31st, 1948 on ABC. As alluded to in the broadcast, Dick Powell would play Richard Diamond Private Detective on air with much success on three major networks, NBC, ABC, and CBS, through September of 1953. You're listening to An Hour of Variety on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now one of Hollywood's hot actors is special guest on the Continental Celebrity Club, and that is Peter Lawford. Very popular at the time, as evidenced by the audience reaction you'll hear next in the CBS broadcast, The Last Known Surviving, from the series from June 22, 1946.
Now the Celebrity Club stage is set for the entrance of our young comedy star. And to you folks who are curious about his private life, I can say this. Jackie Kelk's father was an electrician. And Jackie was his first big shock. Here he is, that mountain of muscle, to greet you in his usual dynamic style.
Hello. Boy, said, yesterday was the first official day of summer, so I went swimming at Coney Island.
Oh.
Yeah, I got into an argument with some woman who brought her dog on the beach.
Why? Did the dog annoy you?
Sure. He thought I was a bone and tried to bury me in the sand. That wasn't the only excitement, Bud. One girl was swimming around and a guy dove underwater and tried to pinch her. She hit him on the head with a rock.
Oh, boy, I'd like to see the bump on his head.
Okay, I'll take off my hat.
Jackie, you must have had quite a day at Coney Island. You probably look wonderful in a bathing suit.
Oh, I do. But I think it's time I got a new bathing suit.
Why?
Well, the one I've got now has a hole in the knee. But if you really want to see how I look in a bathing suit, here's a picture my mother took just before I went in the water.
Oh, not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But what's that big bulge in the back?
Well, I couldn't get a locker, and I didn't want to leave my clothes on the beach. Oh, we had lots of fun in the ocean, Bud.
You did, huh?
Yeah, we had a contest to see who could stay underwater longest.
Oh.
My Uncle Herman stayed under 2 minutes.
Uh-huh.
I stayed under 2.5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
But my Uncle Charlie set a record.
Oh, how long did he stay under?
Well, he went down at 4 o'clock yesterday, and he hasn't come up yet.
Well, if I know your Uncle Charlie, he'll finally show up at home at 3 in the morning.
Uh-huh, and Aunt Mabel will say, "Where were you?" See, they've been married 20 years, and they've always been together.
Really? Never separated, huh?
Just once, but it took 3 cops to do it. But aside from Uncle Charlie, we had a swell day at the beach, Bud. My mother brought along lunch in a shoebox.
What about it?
Well, I told her I didn't like my sandwich. She said, "Put that down. You're chewing on my open-toed wedgies." Uncle Herman didn't know she was bringing food, so he brought his own lunch. I warned him not to eat those pig's knuckles.
Why? What happened?
Oh, it made the pig so nervous it kicked 2 of his teeth out.
Jackie, was your father down at the beach, too?
Oh, no. He's working in the new Continental Can plant in Houston, Texas.
Oh, really? What does he do there?
On what day?
Oh, on an average day. Let's say Thursday.
Oh, well, on Thursday, he gets up around 11 o'clock, plays pool for an hour.
What?
Has lunch, then he takes a nap, and then he reads a book.
Wait a minute. You mean he doesn't do a lick of work all day and they don't fire him? Well, that's amazing.
What's amazing about it? Thursday's his day off.
All right. Let's get back to you on the beach at Coney Island.
Oh, yeah. Well, as soon as my mother went home, I had a chance to pay some attention to my girlfriend, Veronica.
Oh, is she at the beach, too?
Uh-huh.
Veronica weighs 240 pounds. What kind of a bathing suit was she wearing?
A 2-piece rag with a 3-way sag. But that girl is getting bigger every day. She used to eat between meals.
And now?
Now she eats between the betweens. Oh, but what got me mad was the way she started to rave about Peter Lawford.
She did, huh?
I said to her, "Forget Peter Lawford. Thousands of women are chasing him."
Did that keep her quiet?
No, she said, "Get me a pair of track shoes. I want to get in the race, too." Well, that got me furious, but I said to her, "I'm as good-looking as Peter Lawford. Handsome..." I repeat. I said to her, "I'm as good looking as Peter Lawford. Handsome faces run in my family."
Well?
She said, "Yours ran so far it made a clean getaway." Well, that got me to thinking about Peter Lawford, Bud. Aside from his looks, now, what's the secret of his success with women?
Oh. Very simple, Jackie.
It is.
When he takes a girl out, he shows her a whale of a good time. When he puts his arm around her, it's as strong as the arm of an octopus. And when it comes to the technique of kissing, he's a shark.
Whale, octopus, shark.
Uh-huh. How does that compare with you?
Bud.
What?
Shake hands with a herring. Say, Bud,
yes,
I was just wondering, Peter Lawford isn't married. Do you think I could talk him into marrying my sister?
No, Jackie, he won't go for your sister. She's an old maid.
Well, I know, but I'll tell him she's a glamour girl.
What?
Yeah, for instance, I'll say that one of her steady boyfriends is Cary Grant.
Now, wait a minute. Did she ever have a date with Cary Grant?
Bud, the last date my sister had was with General Grant. But it won't hurt if I build her up to Peter a little by telling a few lies.
Jackie, I say that you should always tell the truth. I know the story of George Washington and the cherry tree.
Oh, you do, Ray?
Sure. Little George chopped down a cherry tree. When his father asked him who did it, George Washington said, "I did." And his father didn't hit him. Do you want to know why?
Why?
The old man was no dope. The kid had an axe in his hand.
Oh, Ray, stop, stop. I know how to get Peter to marry my sister. I'll start by saying, "Peter, how would you like to be related to me?"
No, thanks, Jackie. I like my relatives to be living.
Oh, well, Peter Lawford. Welcome to the Celebrity Club, Peter. You know, the very first time I saw you in the movies, you became my favorite star.
Thank you, Jackie. You know, the first time I heard you on the air, you registered with me as an instant hit.
Oh, really?
Yes, the instant I turn you on, somebody hit me.
Oh, well, Peter, I still say you're a swell actor, and I wish women would go for me the way they go for you. Boy, if I only had your profile and your physique.
But, Jackie, a good physique is easy to acquire.
Oh, no, it's not. I once sent away for a bodybuilding course, and I got enrolled in a pastry-making course instead. I followed the lessons for 6 weeks.
How'd it work out?
Now I've got lemon meringue muscles. But, Peter, that's not my only problem. I want to know if you'll do me a favor.
A favor? By all means, Jackie. For you, I would do anything under the sun.
Oh, swell. I saw your newest MGM picture, Two Sisters from Boston. Now I want you to see a picture of my sister from Brooklyn.
This stand-in for Lassie is your sister? I suppose you want me to go out with her.
Well, remember, you said that for me, you'd do anything under the sun.
Cloudy day today. Isn't it, old man?
Oh, Peter, you're turning down the most glamorous girl in New York. This morning she tried to take a milk bath, but she couldn't.
Why not?
By the time she got into the tub, there was no room for the cow. Now, what do you say, Peter? Will you take her out on a date?
No, Jackie, no. I've been studying this picture of your sister wearing an evening gown.
Oh, yeah. Doesn't she look like she was poured into it?
Definitely, and it looks like they forgot to remove the funnel.
Okay, Peter, you just forget the whole thing. I guess you don't want to marry into a millionaire family, huh?
Millionaire family?
Mm-hmm.
Jackie, are your people rich?
Rich? Why, my dear fellow, in some homes they have mice in the cellar.
Well?
In our cellar we have mink. Of course, we weren't always wealthy. As a matter of fact, things were pretty rough when I was a baby.
Why?
No talcum powder. But now, of course, we've got loads of money.
Jackie, if your family really has money, I will go out with your sister.
Oh, swell. And maybe you'll even get married.
Sure, and after a year or so, we'll be hearing the patter of big feet around the house.
No, Peter, you mean you'll hear the patter of little feet.
Big feet. Your mother will be living with us. Jackie, I'm going to wire my studio that I'm retiring from pictures to marry the richest girl in New York. I'll be right back.
Jackie, what did you get yourself into? Oh, for heaven's sake, Jackie, when Peter Lawford finds out your family isn't rich, he'll murder you.
Oh, gee, you're right, Bud. I've got to think fast. What'll I do? I could make a getaway to South America. No, it's too hot there. Mexico? No, it's too hot there. Bud, where can I go?
When Peter Lawford gets back, he'll tell you.
No, it's too hot there, too. Wait, I've got an idea. Peter. Hey, Peter, don't send that telegram.
Were you calling me, Jackie?
Mm-hmm.
What's the matter?
Peter, I've got terrible news. I just had a phone call from my father.
Well, don't tell me he refused to give me your sister's hand.
Her hand? Anybody who wants her can have all of her. No, the trouble is, Peter, I told you we were wealthy, but now we're poor again. See, my father went down to the track today with his entire fortune and bet it on a horse. The race has been over for hours.
Well, what's your father doing now?
He's waiting for his horse to come in.
What time did the horse race begin?
The race went off at 3 o'clock and now it's 10.
Jack!
The nag will cross the finish line, but who knows when?
The odds were 97 to 1.
Boy! Good job. The horse looked fine and fit. It had a skin like silk.
It used to pull a wagon and deliver the milk.
Oh, Frankie!
I got a growing beard on his chin.
Waiting for the horse to come in.
It was a sure shot.
Waiting for the horse to come in. It's now a glue pot. Waiting for the horse to come in. Now that you've heard from radio's saddest songbirds, Margaret Whiting takes the spotlight to show us what singing really sounds like. Maggie?
Oh, thank you, Jackie. Looks like Peter Lawford's romance with your sister isn't working out, and here's how that sort of thing has been set to music. In Love and Vain. Wanna be in love, but who wants to be in love in vain? At night you hang around the house and eat your heart out and cry your eyes out. And wonder why anyone as wonderful as he should cause you such misery and pain. I thought that I would be in heaven. Just my lot to be in love in vain. You sit and wonder why anyone as wonderful as he should cause you such misery and pain. I thought that I would be in heaven, but I'm only up a tree.
Peter, even though my family's poor again, I hope you're still interested in my sister.
Don't start that again, Jackie. I just called your father, and he said that he never bet on a horse in his life, and he never did have any money.
Oh, but Peter,
Don't try to deny it, you little shrimp.
Hey, who are you calling a little shrimp? Why, I've got hair on my chest.
Stop bragging. So is a cocker spaniel. Now, talk up. Did you or did you not lie to me?
Oh, I did, Peter. Oh, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm a disgrace to my scout troop. Number 463, Skunk Patrol. Well, it was nice knowing you, Peter.
Well, never mind that. I just want you to remember that in the future, if you must tell lies, don't tell silly little ones.
Huh?
Tell great big ones that you can be proud of, like the ones we tell at the Hollywood Tall Story Club.
Oh, well, what's the Hollywood Tall Story Club?
Well, that's an organization we have out on the coast that meets once a year to see who can tell the biggest lie. At the last meeting, I won this championship medal.
Oh, well, say, Bud, Ray, did you hear that? Peter Lawford won this medal for telling the biggest lie at the Hollywood Tall Story Club.
Oh, well, Mr. Lawford, I don't suppose you'd let the boys try to win that championship away from you, would you?
Well, Mr. Collier, I'd be glad to hand over the medal to anyone who can tell a bigger whopper than I did.
Well, the contest is on, and Bud, you be the referee.
Okay. First, Mr. Lawford, let's hear the lie that made you champion.
All right. This is the story of the time I went big game hunting in Africa 20 years ago.
Hold it. 20 years ago, you were only 2 years old.
I know, but I was tall for my age. Well, sir, I was walking through the jungle carrying my trusty rifle, when all of a sudden I saw a huge lion standing on top of a big rock. Well, I raised my rifle and shot at the lion, but when the smoke cleared away, the lion was still there. I raised my gun again and sent a bullet right into the lion's mouth. But when the smoke cleared away, the lion was still there.
Boy, this is some lion.
Well, gentlemen. Well, gentlemen, I fired bullet after bullet, but each time the smoke cleared away,
the lion was still there.
Yes, I had only 30 bullets. And before I knew it, I was down to my last one. This time I took very careful aim. I pulled the trigger, and this time when the smoke cleared away, the lion was gone. So is my throat. The 30th bullet had done the trick. With a shout of joy, I scrambled up to the top of the rock, and when I looked down on the other side, what do you think I saw?
I can't imagine.
What did you see?
Believe it or not, gentlemen, sprawled out there on the ground were 30 dead lions.
Oh. Oh, brother, brother, that's the biggest lie I've heard since Ray Block had a pompadour. Peter, you're a real champion.
Thank you, Jack.
After I tell you my lie, Mr. Lawford will be ex-champion.
All right, Ray, go ahead.
I'm going to tell about my hunting trip in the Sahara Desert. It was midsummer, and I had pitched my tent near the lake. Suddenly, I saw...
Just a second. A lake in the Sahara Desert? Next thing, you'll be finding an apple tree.
So I climbed the nearby apple tree. And sure enough, I spotted a flock of geese swimming around on a lake.
But, Mr. Block, there is no lake in the Sahara Desert.
Mr. Lawford, as they say on Park Avenue, zip your lip. Go ahead, Ray.
Thank you. Well, I raised my gun, and just as I was about to fire, the temperature suddenly dropped from 109 degrees to 30 below zero. And the whole lake froze into a solid piece of ice.
Oh, no, Mr. Block. Now, you're not going to give us that old one about the geese having their legs trapped in the ice. And all you have to do is walk out and pick them up.
Oh, no, that would be a lie. I walked toward the frozen lake. But when the geese saw me coming, they started to flap their wings. Gentlemen, they flapped their wings so hard, they flew up into the air carrying all the ice with them. And that's why to this day there is no lake in the Sahara Desert.
Well, Mr. Lawford, that tops your story.
Yes, Mr. Collier, I know when I'm licked. Mr. Block, I now hand you this lying championship medal over to you.
Thank you. This is an unexpected honor, and as champion, I want to say that...
No, not so fast, Mr. Block. Jackie, how about you?
Oh, I can't compete with you fellas. Nothing ever happened to me that would win the lying championship.
Oh, come on, think of something, Jackie.
Oh, but, Bud, I tell you, I've never had any unusual experience.
Okay, then the contest is over.
Except once. Oh. In Alaska.
Here we go, men. Hold on to your hats.
I happen to be in Alaska playing a theater date. A split week at Lowe's Igloo. One afternoon, I, too, decided to go hunting. Of course, I'm not a crack shot like you, Peter. But just for practice, I shot a cigarette out of a man's mouth.
Well, that was fine shooting, Jack.
No, it wasn't. I was aiming at a tree. So then I decided instead of going hunting, I'd go for a ride in my racing car. Well, it was a pleasant day, and I was driving along at 700 miles an hour when all of a sudden I found myself out in the country. As I stepped on the gas, the car got out of control. I ran off the road into a field of wheat, through a patch of strawberries, into a chicken coop, and through a herd of cows. Before long, I heard a churning noise in the engine. And what do you think happened?
What?
The motor had threshed the wheat into flour, picked up 4 eggs from the chicken coop, 12 strawberries from the strawberry patch, 1/4 milk from the cow, turned the milk into whipped cream, and in 5 minutes, out of the exhaust pipe came the most beautiful strawberry shortcake you ever saw.
Well, Ray, that tops your story, I'm afraid. Now you're the ex-champion.
I guess so. Here's my medal, Jackie.
Oh, thank you, Ray. And I promise that I will cherish it always. I'll do everything in my...
Say, fellas, what's going on here?
Oh, hello, Margaret. We've just had a contest to see who could tell the biggest lie. And Jackie...
Jackie just won this medal as champion.
Oh, I see. Can anyone get into the contest? Maybe I could win the medal.
Oh, don't be silly, Margaret. How could you compete against men?
Sure, go away, Margaret. This is big time lying we've been doing.
But, boys, we ought to give her a chance. Maybe Miss Whiting can outdo us in this lying department.
Well, okay, Maggie. Go ahead and tell us the biggest lie you can think of.
All right. Well, this happened last week at my birthday party. Just as my mother brought in the birthday cake with 17 candles on it, one of the boys kissed me. Well, that never happened to me before, so
Just a minute, Maggie. Last week you were 17 years old.
And you'd never been kissed before?
That's right.
That's all, boys.
Here's the medal, Maggie.
Meet the new champion, everybody.
Now I have heard everything. Good night, folks.
Good night, Peter. Thanks, Peter Lawford, for paying us a visit. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, our guest from Hollywood will be that glamour boy from Moscow, one of your favorite screen comedians, Misha Auer. Good night, all.
The Continental Celebrity Club is produced and directed by Mark Sloab and written by Will Glickman. Next week, in addition to Jackie Kelk, Margaret Whiting, and Ray Block's orchestra, we will have as our special guest the celebrated screen comedian, Misha Auer. This is Bud Collier, inviting you to be with us then. The Continental Celebrity Club is brought to you each week by the members of the Continental Can family, producing for the health, welfare, and happiness of the nation. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
The Continental Celebrity Club, on Tuned to Yesterday from June 22, 1946, on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of variety on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.